Welcome to the Crack House Chronicles, your favorite true crime podcast. I am Donnie, and with me is a man that wants to remind everyone that when a cop pulls you over, don't ask him to hold your beer while you're digging for your license. It's Dale.
Yeah, they usually pour it out.
Yeah.
They won't give it back to you.
They kind of frown on that for some reason.
I know. They just don't want to get their hands cold.
I guess. Can't drive around and drink a beer anymore.
I know, man. Somebody hit a bump and spilled on you.
All these laws.
Crazy.
What's going on, dude?
You know, same old, same old.
Same old, same old.
How about yourself?
Oh, hey, we got some new mics and we're trying to get used to them.
Yeah, we are.
This is a whole different ball game
test
for us.
Run. We've all fancy.
Yes. This is our inaugural Sure Mic test run.
Our fanciness.
Oh, we like it.
Yes.
We thank you everybody, so much, everybody that listens to us and helps contribute, and we can buy this stuff.
Yeah.
Keep moving up.
I like to feel fancy.
Yeah,
I'm moving on. Got my pinky up and everything.
Yeah, moving on up to the top.
SpongeBob fancy.
Hold your pinky up. Oh, man, you got any good shout-outs to anybody you want to mention? Look at that clap.
We do have a few today I want to run through. A little quick clap and get out here. All right, first of all, this is an Apple podcast five-star.
Five-star.
Review. And this comes from our buddy JT.
JT?
It's about time, dude. What have you been waiting on? And this says, awesome show, even local. Found you guys via a friend posting on Facebook. Now the wife and I listen to this podcast both on the way and the way back from the beach this past weekend. Very well done, easy to listen to and follow. Keep up the great job, Joseph Terry Shelby, North Carolina.
Well, Joseph Terry Shelby, North Carolina.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate you taking the time to do that, and thanks for listening and always commenting and such and so forth.
And tell all your friends.
And tell them all, tell them all. And we got to go over here. We're going to run over to Spotify right quick, Donnie.
Bring it on.
This comes from, I'm going to say Cindy Dubois. And if that's wrong, sorry, it sounds like a Scooby-Doo thing and it's cool to me.
Well, you said it.
Anyway, it looks like Cindy Dubois to me. Anyway, it says, our podcast group first listened to episode 204. Did not think it was for us. However, we gave y'all another try, and now you turned out you have 25 new fans.
Man.
I love how respectful you guys are.
We are. We try to be respectful.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks so much. And that was under our Ed Gein episode. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they like all that gore and
stuff. They dig it.
I'm glad we got them.
Yeah.
I'm glad they listen.
Yeah, thanks so much. We appreciate you guys, and thanks for, you know, we got a little bit of here and there, and so thanks for finding something you dig, and thanks for staying around.
And tell all your friends, too.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
And all their friends, and their other friends.
and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that good stuff.
Yeah. It's like Calgon.
It just takes you away?
Yeah, I guess, or... They tell two friends, and they tell two friends, and so on and so forth.
All right. Well, them two friends are going to say we've been talking too long, so.
Yeah. But we got a heck of a case this week, man.
We do.
Because we're going back to Skidmore, Missouri.
We can't get away from here,
we cannot, because this town is, there's all kind of stuff going on in this little bitty town of 300 people.
Right.
Well, maybe not even 300 people.
Well, it's 2 to 4, depending on when it was.
Exactly.
Ain't been a lot of difference.
Yeah, because, you know, on episode 202, we talked about Bobby Jo Stinnett.
Mm-hmm.
She was the lady there that was murdered, and her baby was cut from her womb. And
fetal abduction.
Yeah, by Lisa Montgomery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sad, sad story.
Very.
And then when episode 206, we talked about Ken Rex McElroy.
Yes.
You know, the town bully, I guess that's what you'd call him. He was more than a bully, but I don't know how you describe him.
Bad dude.
Yeah, very, very bad. But we're still in Skidmore, and we're talking today about a guy by the name of Branson Perry.
Branson Perry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's crazy is, Dale, he happens to be the first cousin of Bobby Jo Stinnett, the lady that was murdered and had her baby cut out of her.
First cousins, hey?
First cousins.
Yeah, they were the same age, right?
They were.
Wow. So they kind of probably grew up together.
They probably did. Yeah. Same age.
They live near each other?
I'm pretty sure because the street that Branson lived on was Oak Street, and Bobby Joe lived on Oak Street when she was murdered. So they very well could live near each other there. Hmm. Yeah.
I was thinking I saw something where it said basically they lived across the street, but I didn't see that last night when I was looking.
Well, it's a very small town, so they probably lived.
They didn't live far from each other, no matter what.
Yeah. Right. But they were cousins. So
just right down the road from the tavern where... Ken Rex was killed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But we're talking about Branson Kane Perry today.
Okay.
Yeah. And just a little bit of background on Branson Perry. He was born on February the 24th, 1981, and he was raised there in Skidmore, Missouri. and he graduated from Nottoway Holt High School in 1999. And he got a job after high school working as a roofer for a little while, and he lost his job, and he decided to help with a traveling petting zoo.
Right. Yeah, you know, he tried to get in the military.
He did.
But it didn't work out. But he couldn't get in because he had a heart condition.
Yeah, he had something called tachycardia.
Yeah, which made his heart race.
Yeah.
Or something like that, whatever that means.
It was, but he was still a pretty active guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Done a lot of stuff.
But I think he really broke his heart when he couldn't get in the military because he really wanted to do that.
Yeah. And he was active, like we said, and he had a black belt in Hapkido.
Mm-hmm.
And he lifted weights, too.
Self-defense kind of thing.
Yeah. You looked up Hapkido. What is Hapkido?
It's like a self-defense thing similar to Aikido, but it's different.
Yeah.
It goes through the rankings. It's kind of like a karate kind of rankings. It's probably like a white belt, yellow belt.
But Branson, he lived a pretty uneventful life until the day he disappeared.
Right.
The day we're talking about in question is April the 7th, 2001, where we're starting out at. And Branson, on this day, he visited a neighbor. It said a neighbor, but other places we read, he lived further away.
Right, yeah, so it's kind of conflicting.
Yeah, but the guy's name he visited was Jason Bierman, which sometimes people just called him Bierman by his last name. But this is when it was allegedly that Jason Bierman gave him some kind of unidentified drug.
Sounds like ecstasy or something.
Sounds like it. And this is when Branson, he responded to this drug pretty crazy. He started stripping his clothes off, getting naked, dancing around Bierman's home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got a little wilder than that.
Yeah. He even shaved off his pubic hair.
Shaved it down.
Yeah. And then he participated in some kind of sexual activity,
right,
with Jason Bierman. So that's pretty much all we know about it. But I think Branson was pretty humiliated by this.
Well, he didn't know what the hell was going on because, you know, I'm sure he didn't know what this guy was giving him. I mean, I don't know what his personal life is as far as what kind of drugs or whatever he was into or anything, but I'm sure this guy gave him something, whether he knowingly gave it to him or dosed him or put it in a drink or whatever.
Yeah.
Next thing he knew, he was doing all this wild stuff, and then when it kind of started wearing off, then he realized what had happened.
Because Branson was just 20 years old.
Right.
And this Jason guy, he was in his 30s.
Yeah.
He was a little bit older.
Right.
So Branson, he was, you know, humiliated by this. And
he just went home and locked himself in his room, didn't
he? Yeah, but he did explain what had happened to his father.
The next day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Branson lived with his father there in Skidmore, Missouri.
Right.
Him and his mom and dad were separated and divorced. But he chose to live with his dad. Now, Branson did have a brother that lived with his mom. They lived in a totally different town.
Yeah, but it wasn't far away.
No.
Like 20 minutes or something.
But Branson did explain this, what happened to his that day, and his dad got pretty upset.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, he did. But his dad, Bob, did say at one time that he always suspected his son had some gay tendencies or something.
Hmm.
Yeah. But he was pretty outraged by this, especially for being drugged and then using Branson.
Right.
Yeah, using him that way.
Yeah.
But it's never been reported if there was any kind of confrontation that took place between Branson's dad and this Jason Bierman.
It's weird, ain't it?
It is.
So I guess that's just the end of that.
I guess it was.
So I would say he didn't live across the street.
No.
If it was the end of that.
That's why I'm thinking that...
At least a few minutes down the road or something. I don't know.
Yeah. But now, during this time, Branson's dad, Bob, was in the hospital.
Hmm.
Yeah, but it hadn't been told what exactly his condition was. Some places said a heart condition, but it's really unknown.
Right.
But he was in the hospital for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, Branson was taking it upon himself to get some things done around the house.
Yes.
He was cleaning the house, doing a deep clean of the house, and getting some car repairs done to his dad's vehicle.
Yes.
And they were two guys that were mechanics that were working on Bob's alternator.
They were come over to your house fix kind of guys.
I guess they were, because yeah, that's what they were doing. They were at the house replacing the alternator.
Right.
But I guess working on an alternator is not a big detailed job. I think pretty much anybody can do that,
depending on where it is and what the car is.
True.
Is how difficult it is.
Yeah.
some of them are way easier than others.
Yeah.
And we don't know if this was a company or if it's a couple guys he knew either. And, you know, and that could have been that way.
It's always been there were two mechanics, and their names have not been released anywhere.
Not that I found.
No.
So that's why I'm saying, you know, I don't know if it was like a company where you call them, they come over and fix it, or if it's like, hey, Joe can fix it, call him, and he'll and they come over and, you know that kind of thing.
Exactly. But now,
I guess it's kind of relevant either way, but go ahead.
Yeah. But now Branson did have a friend. Her name was Gina Crawford. Mm-hmm. And she was over at the house that day helping Branson clean the house for his dad to come home.
Right.
You know, getting the house clean and doing all this stuff around the house.
And these two have been friends forever, right?
They have. Right. Since they were little bitty kids, yeah, they've been exactly. friends. So, yeah. But while they were cleaning the house, just out of nowhere, Branson grabbed something from the kitchen cabinet mm-hmm. and went outside. And when he came back in, he didn't say anything about what he had done or anything like that, because this didn't really ring to Gina until later on.
Right. Well, she probably thought it was kind of odd, but, you know, he didn't say nothing, so she didn't say nothing.
Yeah. Because after they finished cleaning, Branson was outside doing some stuff, and she went upstairs to take a shower.
Right.
And then when she came back down, she saw one of the mechanics in the kitchen rifling through the cabinet.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when she asked what he was looking for, he told her that it was nothing and just went back outside.
Which is odd.
Very odd.
Yeah.
Because you have just a total stranger. But let me tell you this. Their house was considered like a little, it was very welcoming.
Yeah.
Anybody could come and go, and all their friends could just come anytime and hang out.
Well, his dad, Bob, always wanted it to be that way. He's like, well, I figure, you know, if all the kids are going somewhere, they might as well come here, and that way I know mine's safe.
Yes.
You know, so there was the hangout house.
Yeah.
And all the kids felt safe there, you know, that they could go over there and hang out, didn't have to, you know, feel weird about it or nothing.
Because Gina didn't think anything about this until she saw the mechanic going through the cabinet.
Which is way odd to me.
Yeah.
It kind of also makes me think that it's somebody that, like a friend of a friend, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That's a little bit too personal.
Yeah, if it's a, you know, anything that's business-like, they're not going to come in and rifle through your house.
Yeah.
Usually.
That's right.
You wouldn't expect that anyway.
But now, Gina went back upstairs, and about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, she saw Branson leaving the house, and she called out to him, what are you doing and where are you going? And he told her that he had some jumper cables that he was just going to put away in the building.
Right.
And I'm sure that they probably had jumper cables handy, especially if they had replacing an alternator in the car.
Yeah. But why would he, did he have them in the house?
They said they had left them on the porch.
Oh, okay. So the mechanics left them on the porch?
Well, they said they always left the jumper cables on the porch because they had to jump the battery off.
Who's they?
This is what Branson and Gina said. This is what Gina said. The jumper cables.
Okay, so Gina said they left them out there?
Yeah, the Bob and Branson always left the jumper cables on the front porch. In case they had to jump off a battery.
Okay.
This is why Branson was getting that alternator fixed so they wouldn't have to keep doing that.
Correct, okay. I follow you.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's when
I was just wondering why, if he had them in the damn house. Okay.
Yeah, but that's when Branson said he was going to take the jumper cables back out to the building. He was going to run out for a bit, and he'll be back in a few minutes.
Okay.
And really, Dale, that was the last time anyone saw Branson Perry.
He never came home?
No.
Hmm.
He never came home after that. But since Branson's father would be hospitalized for a few days, his grandmother, her name was Joanne Stinnett. Now, remember that name, Joanne Stinnett. Because she was the grandma of Branson and Bobby Joe.
Wow.
Yeah. She came over.
Wow.
Yeah, she came over to the house to visit the night before to see what was going on with Branson, see if he was okay since Bob was still in the hospital.
Right.
Now, Branson, up to this point, had been visiting his dad, Bob, in the hospital every day.
Right.
But up to this point, he hadn't been there.
Right, so something's odd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Joanne stopped by the house.
Branson's house?
Yeah.
Okay.
And found the doors open, and Branson was gone. And she worried a little bit. She started asking around town.
You mean doors open, like open or not locked?
Not locked.
Okay.
And she was worried a little bit, and she started asking around town, but no one had seen Branson.
Hmm.
And on April the 16th, 2001, she and his parents went to file a police report, a missing persons
report. So how many days after they figured out he was gone before they went to the police? It was a few days, wasn't it?
It was a few days.
Yeah.
And they got to ask him why.
I think it was 3 or 4 days.
It was, yeah. Okay. But see, you know, they got to ask him why. But see, Branson was just there at the house by himself because Bob was in the hospital, and they didn't think anything about it, really. But all of his personal belongings were at the house.
Yeah, everything.
His wallet, everything.
Right. So it's just weird.
Yeah.
To me.
And foul play was immediately suspected.
Well, something's going on.
Yeah. Now, the Nottoway County Sheriff. Yeah,
I think even the police questioned them and go, why did y'all wait so long?
Yeah, right. They did.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, that's odd. When they tell you that, it's, you know.
But that's when they said that, you know, that Bob was in the hospital.
Right.
And that's the only one he lived with. And last time Gina saw him.
Grandma was really the only one who was pushing this issue because she went by there and he was gone, right?
Exactly.
And then went back again and she was gone again. It's like, wait, we got to figure out something.
Yeah.
Because I think Bob was supposed to come home on the 12th or the 13th, but ended up keeping him to the 16th.
Yeah.
So there's your days. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Now, Nottoway County Sheriff, his name was Ben Espy. He began searching for Branson and combing a 15-mile perimeter around Skidmore.
Wow.
And authorities questioned hundreds of people, including Branson's drug acquaintances.
Hmm.
Yeah, because the meth scene there in Skidmore at that time was pretty rampant.
Yeah,
but they didn't think that Branson had a drug problem. They thought that he may have been one to maybe get supplies to be able to make the meth. And you know, once he bought supplies for them, and maybe they'd give him a little bit here and there just for payment. But that's what they were thinking.
Yeah, whatever. If he's doing it, it ain't just every now and again, Bradley.
Yeah. But they got to checking these drug acquaintances, and they all passed lie detector tests, and no one seemed to know what happened to him.
Drug acquaintances.
Yeah.
That's funny to me.
Yeah, that's what they said. So over the following month and a half, over 100 people were interviewed in Branson's disappearance. And Gina.
That's half the town.
Yeah, exactly. And Gina, who had been at Branson's home the day he disappeared, admitted to law enforcement that, you know, he had been experimenting with some marijuana and amphetamines. And a family member also informed police that Branson had a bottle of Valium in his possession the day he disappeared. Now, law enforcement questioned drug acquaintances, like we said, and no one had seen him. Yeah. And further investigation in the local drug trade was undertaken, but no leads were uncovered despite a lot of rumors about Branson. And despite the fact that there were rumors that Branson owed drug dealers some money.
Yeah, now that might be a little more like it.
Yeah.
Something going on there, because it just kind of go back to the first, when he grabbed something out of the kitchen cabinet, we wonder what that is, right?
Yeah, why was this guy in the house grabbing something out of the cabinet?
Right, well, even when he got something himself out first, right?
Branson did,
yeah. Yeah, and goes outside, so I wonder, he was either grabbing something to take to somewhere or something, because it was kind of weird how he just grabbed it and went out the door, because he didn't want her to know.
Yeah.
And then old boy's in the house looking for something else or more of whatever he was getting out of there.
Very, very possible.
And then next to, he's gone after this.
Yeah.
So somewhere in there is kind of sketchy.
The same day.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead. I'm sorry. I just wanted to backtrack a little bit because that's kind of sketchy to me.
Yeah. Branson's dad, Bob, initially suspected that his son had left to stay with some friends in Kansas City, because Bob even thought that Branson was wanting to go cool off for a while and get his head straight, especially after this encounter he had with this Jason Bierman,
right,
who had drugged him and sexually assaulted him.
Kind of dealing with his own way.
Yeah, that's what his dad claimed.
Well, that's what you want to think anyway.
Exactly.
Even though you would think he would let you know if he was going to Kansas City, which I don't know how far that is from here.
Yeah. But, you know, I want to know who these mechanics were at the house. It hadn't been stated anywhere, like we said.
Right.
I don't know if they're keeping them private.
For a reason?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I would be pretty sure that they would be included in that 100 and something people that were interviewed.
Oh, definitely.
Or polygraphed.
And I will say this.
I would hope so, anyway.
This best friend of Branson, Gina Crawford, I have reached out to her and hoping she'll get back with me and answer some questions and maybe possibly do an interview.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Maybe she'll know a little more about this, that, at least that part.
We'll see if anything pans out on that.
Right.
Yeah.
So if anybody knows her, give her a shout out.
But now there was a van there at the house also that Branson sometimes drove. And it hadn't been reported that van was working at the time.
But it was still there.
It was there at the house.
That and his keys and his wallet. Everything's there.
Everything.
Everything but him.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
So everything was there. The van, the keys, the wallet, everything but him. Oh, and those jumper cables. Because when law enforcement come in and search the place looking, they didn't find no jumper cables.
No, they didn't. Not initially, no.
Right.
But when they came back, they were there.
Later.
Yeah.
When they went back and did a research.
Yeah, they went back because they were lost, and they were just looking for anything.
Yeah, after they done this and searched the 15-mile radius or whatever, come back, they said, well, hell, we must have missed something. So they go back and search it again, and then the damn jumper cables were hanging in the building.
Yeah. Branson's mom, Becky, had asked law enforcement if there's any way they can fingerprint them or anything like that or get any kind of DNA off of them,
right.
And they told her they couldn't.
They claimed that the material that it was made out of wouldn't allow fingerprints.
That's what they said
on it.
That's what they said.
I don't know about that.
I don't either.
Because, you know, getting damn well the part where you clamp it.
Oh, it's
either
have,
flat plastic or metal one.
It's got to have touch DNA on it or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So remember that.
Yeah, exactly. So pretty much goes cold on Branson Perry.
Yeah.
They don't have anything to go on, man.
Well, they've done all they can think of to do.
Yeah. And we're moving up to April the 10th of 2003. And this is when law enforcement, they arrest a guy, a 59-year-old guy by the name of Jack Wayne Rogers.
Right.
Now, this guy, let's talk about him a little bit.
Yes.
Because this is like two stories in one, really.
Yeah.
This Jack Wayne Rogers, he was a Presbyterian minister.
Mm-hmm.
He was a Boy Scout leader.
Right.
But he was arrested on charges of first-degree assault for, get this, practicing medicine without a license.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
that's just the first of it.
Yeah, because what he was doing, he claimed to be some kind of surgeon.
Yeah, he was doing sex reassignment surgery.
Yes.
In a hotel.
He was removing a trans woman's genitals in this makeshift gender reassignment surgery in a hotel.
In a hotel.
Yeah. They're in Columbia, Missouri.
Yeah.
This is what he was doing, man.
On top of a lot of other stuff.
Yeah. And what he would do when they would come in for this surgery, he would make them sign an agreement.
Yes.
Then when he removed the organ, the sex organ.
They belonged to him.
Yeah, it was his.
To do with what he wanted.
Yeah. They did not have any more ownership over it. So the way he got arrested was when he was doing some operation, he couldn't get the bleeding stopped.
Right.
And I guess they had to take him to a hospital and get him some help.
Right.
Because he couldn't fix it.
They would have bled to death, yeah.
Yeah. So that's how he got exposed on this.
So they get to looking into him, and then they start searching him and his belongings, and then they start looking on his computer. Then things get really wild.
You cannot make this stuff up, dude.
It's crazy.
Yeah. And while investigating Jack Wayne Rogers' personal belongings, the detectives discovered child pornography on his computer.
Yep.
As well as other posts that he had made on these message boards.
Yeah.
Using these conversations.
His username was Booger Butt.
Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah. Crazy. And in these chats, man, he got to describing graphic torture and assault of multiple men.
Rape, torture, and murder.
Yeah. And in these posts, this Rogers guy also discussed cannibalizing the genitals of men he had castrated.
Yeah, the ones he was signed over to keep.
Yeah. And the reason this attention, they got onto Branson because of this, in one of these chats, it described Branson. It didn't mention him by name.
Well, he said he had picked up a hitchhiker from Skidmore.
A
blonde-headed hitchhiker.
Yeah.
From Skidmore.
And Branson was as blonde as you can get.
Yeah.
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 And he had picked up this blonde hitchhiker in Skidmore and took him and molested him for days and
tied him to a tree.
Yeah.
For it was like for 18 hours or something.
Raping, torturing, mutilating, and murdering him.
Yeah, and like putting a impale with some kind of spike through his genitals to the tree.
Exactly.
And then I saw some of the chat room the other day, and it was pretty rough. The chat log, it was talking about the guy was asking him, and they kept calling it it. They didn't use names.
He just referred to him as it.
Yeah, because that way, they're trying to cover their tracks in the chat room in case it ever comes up. Did it scream? Did it do this?
Holy,
I was talking about,
shit.
Oh, yes, it was doing this. And I was like, man, this is just about too much. But he never called nobody by his name, and it just was that. But I was going to say before, the reason they knew that this guy was really doing this stuff, he took pictures of all this
torturing.
The eating of the genital. He was taking pictures of preparing this stuff.
The cooking and the cutting and the preparing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like you prepare some steak or something in the kitchen or chicken.
He was making a tube steak.
Yeah. That's what he was doing.
Just to be blunt about it.
Yeah.
God almighty.
And he described this in these chat logs. And what got their attention was there's not many blonde boys from Skidmore missing.
Right. Now, when they went to ask him about it, he said he was just all made up stuff.
Fantasy.
Yeah.
It was fabricated.
He said, well, what about all these details? Because I saw it in the newspaper, and it was just a fantasy.
That's what he said.
Yeah, that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know that he had this kid, but he had some kids.
Yeah. But now, while they were performing a search of Roger's property, they did find a turtle claw necklace that was resembling one that was owned by Branson Perry.
According to his dad.
Exactly.
Right. His mom says she didn't.
No, but he lived with his dad, so he would know more about what he wore.
Or something similar, anyway.
Because Branson was known to wear these, I don't know, these necklaces that had arrowheads on them.
And medicine bag and stuff, I saw.
Yeah. So that was a turtle claw necklace.
Right.
Now, they did turn this turtle claw necklace over to forensics, but they didn't find any kind of DNA on it or anything.
No, I think later it was said that it actually wasn't his, but at first they really thought it was.
Exactly. And I still ain't so sure that it wasn't his.
Right. I don't know how he proved it one way or the other.
Exactly. But in April of 2004, Jack Wayne Rogers was convicted and sentenced to 17 years in prison for assault and 7 years for performing illegal surgery, as well as 30 years for child pornography charges.
Yeah.
Which would run concurrent with the former two charges. Mm. And after his sentencing, Branson's mom, she went to all these trials. She begged for Rogers to reveal where Branson was.
Right.
But this Rogers guy denied being involved with the disappearance.
Yeah, he stuck to his story about it being
a fantasy.
Fantasy of just some kid.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
But now,
just saying, this guy was like an hour and a half away from here. It wasn't.
Exactly.
It wasn't near this place. So it's kind of far-fetched, and then part of it could have been true, but I don't know.
But as far as driving distance, it's very, very possible.
Oh, easy. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I ain't saying that.
But Jack Wayne Rogers is in prison. His earliest release date is October the 30th, 2028, when he'll be 83 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to worry about him.
No, I don't think so, too. But he claims he doesn't know anything about this Branson Perry. At all. Mm-mm.
And, I guess, I don't know. Would you say or would you not? Probably not if you think he's going to get a chance to get out one day, even if he's going to be 83.
I know.
Because if he said he did it, he ain't getting out.
No. Now, Branson's father, Bob, died in 2004. Mm. And in June of 2009, law enforcement revealed they were completing an excavation of a site in Quitman, Missouri, after receiving a pretty credible tip that Branson's remains may have been located there. And over a period of 2 days, excavators dug a 23-foot deep hole that covered an area around 20 feet by 40 feet. And at the time, another local farmer who resided about a mile and a half away, it was east of there, stated that law enforcement had searched his property several years prior for an abandoned well, but the search didn't yield anything at all.
Hmm.
And in 2010, Branson's mom, Becky, offered a $20,000 reward for information leading to her son's whereabout. And you know what was sad about this? Becky had been saving money to go on a cruise.
Oh, well.
Yeah, she'd been putting money away, here and there squabbling away to go on a cruise. And then when Branson disappeared, she put that money up for his reward, any information. So she didn't get to go on that cruise. But even Branson's mom, Becky, she died in 2011.
Yeah.
After a
melanoma.
Yeah, a years-long battle with it. It was very, very sad.
Yeah.
Now, Joanne Stennett.
Which is the grandmother.
Yes. She said at the time of Becky's death, around town, we searched every well, every outside toilet. We searched everywhere that was possible to think that where he could be. And Monica Kaysen, she's the founder for the Center of Missing Persons, and a friend of Becky stated that she and other close friends had promised they would continue to look for Branson.
Hmm.
And in Becky's obituary, it was noted that she was preceded in death by her son Branson, and she was buried beside an open plot for Branson in case he was ever found.
Wow.
And it lists his date of death as April 11th, 2001, the day he disappeared. That was the day that Gina last saw him taking those jumper cables to the building.
Right.
Yeah. And in August 14th of 2022, the current Nottoway County Sheriff, his name's Randy Strong, he announced a suspect had been identified, but more evidence was needed before arrest could be made.
So it seems to me that it's more like somebody in town there than it would be this
Jack Wayne Rogers.
Yeah, that's a good name to say, because I was trying to think something. Because I don't know, it's just odd to me. I think it could have been more of like you said, somebody owing somebody some money, or somebody, if he was getting like supplies or whatever, somebody thinking he's going to run his mouth because they were cracking down on this meth thing.
Yeah.
That makes more sense to me than because I don't know, I just don't see him walking out the house with his jumper cables and going down the street and hitchhiking and this guy pick him up.
I know.
That's kind of,
I would say it's more of the drug scene kind of thing.
Yeah. And the reason I was thinking maybe it's somebody local is that all of a sudden the cables reappear.
Yeah.
You know, that's odd to me.
And another strange thing about this, when they went out there to that site, that Quitman, Missouri area where they dug that big hole,
right,
that ground was disturbed.
So something had been there.
And cadaver dogs hit around that area. They couldn't find any body or anything.
So it could have been there, and then they removed it when somebody said, wait a minute,
it could have been there at one time.
Here, we need to get this thing out of
here. Yeah, it could have been there. Branson could have been there at one time.
Right, but we don't know.
No, we don't know. But it's a sad case all the way around, man.
Man, it is, and just think that grandmother, man, both of her granddaughter and her grandson both had tragic stuff happen to them.
You know, I just wonder if at any point they took drug dogs into the house and made them sniff around, or had them sniff around for anything.
I don't know.
Around the property.
Good question.
I guess it's too late now, but
yeah,
I just wonder if they'd done anything like that.
I don't know.
And another thing too, Branson being in martial arts, could he have maybe fought off any kind of attack or anything? Would he have been able to do that with his Hapkido training?
Not with a gun in your face, wouldn't.
Very true.
Or jumper cables around your neck.
And there's a lot of people think that Branson was strangled with these jumper cables.
Very possible.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, dude.
I don't either. I want to know, when he took these outside to put them away, were the mechanics still there or they're already gone?
Don't know.
And I really don't know. We don't know what the time between her finding a guy going through the cabinets and when he left.
Yeah. And how soon they got the car fixed with the alternator, and did they get the car fixed with the alternator?
Right.
It hadn't been reported anywhere.
And when he said he was going to leave, what was he going to take? Was he taking the car that was fixed? Was he going to take the van? Both were apparently still there, correct?
Yeah.
As far as we know.
And that's when he told Gina, I'm going somewhere, I got to run somewhere, I'll be right back.
Right. That's why I was wondering, what was he going to take? Was he going to walk? Was he going to take the van? Was he going to take the car?
Don't know.
What did he take?
He took his feet, obviously, because he didn't take no car. And did he leave with the guys that fixed the alternator?
Right.
Or they
questions.
Had
we got questions.
Or they had somebody come and get him.
Yeah.
Pull up and get him and snatch him and get in the car, boy.
Yeah.
We're going for a ride.
Right. Maybe he had somebody's money in the cabinet. You know, you never know. I don't know. We don't never know. It's just too many questions and too many unknowns.
It could have been money in the cabinet.
Taken, yeah.
That he owed for drugs.
Right. I mean, maybe he didn't have enough. Maybe that's why the guy was in there looking. Could have been that. I don't know. There's a whole lot of I don't knows, and I don't want to speculate too far and talk about the guy, but you don't really never know.
Yeah.
That's why it'd be cool if she contacts us. We've got a lot of questions.
Yeah, I hope Gina does reach out to us.
And if she don't, I get it, but it
would yeah. be cool. Well, you know, she probably listens to podcasts on him, so maybe she listens to this one. She can hear her name and
give us a holler.
Exactly. But yeah, it's just a sad case, especially for the Stinnett family, Joanne Stinnett, the grandma. Man, she's had other people that's died in her family get killed. She had another relative that was beaten to death in their backyard.
Man, that one was rough, too.
Yeah. Mm. So this whole...
I mean, I know it's a teeny. It's a very, very teeny town.
Teeny, tiny town.
It's a teeny, tiny town, so there's probably lots of people that are related. So, you know, it's not, you know, just unheard of, but it's still shocking that this much tragedy in that one family.
Mm-hmm.
And that girl, man, she was beat to death in her backyard, and I mean, so bad that she had, like, what, 8 ribs broke on one side and 6 on the other, and then when she was laying there gasping, this guy poured Dawn dishwashing soap down her throat.
Yeah.
I mean, this is terrible stuff.
I know. Whew. But anyway, that is the story of Branson Perry. It's sad,
man.
I mean, they don't have any idea where he went to or what happened to him.
Right.
Anybody has any information, they can contact local law enforcement or Crime Stoppers or contact us, and we'll contact somebody.
Yeah, crackhousechronicles@gmail.com.
That's right. All right, Dale, we're going to get out of here, bud.
Let's roll.
We want everyone to be safe. Please be careful and always be aware of your surroundings.
Because the next episode could be about you.
This is the Crack House Chronicles.